My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. This is a tweet from Aaron Wilson of KPRC Channel 2. He's got a list of players, several Texans not slated to play against the Steelers tonight. So before we get into some of the matchups we're going to be looking at, I think it makes perfect sense to go through this list just so we know exactly what we're going to be watching and who we're going to be watching tonight. So Seth, here we go. Here is the list. Titus Howard. We now know what the issue was, though. Minor knee injury, Aaron says.
Minor knee injury, yep. So he's not playing. Okay,
he
so
will
you're
not
starting
play.
Right tackle, yep. Not out there.
Laremy Tunsil, off-season knee scope. We knew that was coming. Kamari Lassiter is an ankle injury. He will not play tonight. No Kamari.
What the hell?
Yeah, no Kamari tonight. Will Anderson Jr., ankle, will not play tonight.
Oh, that's worse than just when I initially heard soft tissue. I was hoping, like, you know, maybe a little calf strain or something.
Now, Aaron does have a follow-up tweet to all these where he lists several guys where it's really precautionary. And Will's one of them. Where it's, they're just being very precautionary with him. Tim Settle Jr., calf injury, not playing tonight. Desmond King, groin injury, not playing tonight.
Okay.
He's kind of battling for a job right now, too. So that's a missed opportunity for Desmond King. Christian Harris, his injury is a calf. Charlie Heck, plantar fasciitis. Tegan Katoriano, calf. He, of course, carted off of the field in the Hall of Fame game, but it doesn't look to be as serious as it initially may have looked. Noah Brown, strained shoulder.
Okay.
I mean, Noah Brown, that was one of the... Him and Jimmy Ward last year were the two guys that, when they were on the field, they were super productive, but they weren't on the field nearly enough.
Right, yeah, and he's battling for a spot, too.
Okay. He is, yep. The last few here, Jeff Okuda, Brevin Jordan. He doesn't list anything for either of these guys as far as what the issue is, but Jeff Okuda, Brevin Jordan, who for the second straight training camp has been missing a lot of time. It didn't hurt him last year. He made the team. And I think he's going to make the team this year just because they have hardly any tight ends in camp right now. Two of them aren't playing tonight. Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover. If you want to watch Cade Stover, tonight's your night because Dalton Schultz is probably going to play two series, and then the other two tight ends aren't playing tonight. Cade Stover is probably going to get about 70 snaps in the game tonight.
Yeah, so that'll be good. He needs the reps. He needs experience blocking. I thought he showed some really promising signs in the game last week. So the biggest thing for me now – As a couple days ago, I was upset that T.J. Watt and Highsmith and Cam Hayward wouldn't be playing. Now I'm kind of happy that they're not. The best pass rushers for the Steelers are not playing. But you've also got Blake Fisher and Charlie Heck is playing. So you got
Charlie Heck's not playing.
He's not playing.
Charlie Heck, plantar fasciitis.
So you got David Sharp or somebody else at right tackle.
Nick Broeker was the one who came in for Titus
Howard.
That's right.
He came in and played last week. Yeah.
Yep.
So actually, I'm excited to see Nick Broeker get more work at right tackle. And yet, my appetite for C.J. Stroud playing, it just went way down. And I think there's less of a chance you're going to see the – look, you weren't going to see the wide-open Texans offense anyway.
No.
It's a preseason. They want to be careful about this. But I think you'll see potentially a more boring version of football if you're not certain about either of your offensive tackles. Blake Fisher, I thought, did some good things in that first game too. And he'll be doing it against backups again, but you're going to have your starting quarterback back there. So they'll, it makes me a little bit more nervous about C.J. Stroud playing in the preseason.
Yeah, give the guys on the edge plenty of help and get C.J. his three or four passes he needs to throw. You know, get this. Now, this does mean, you know, the names that were not on that list I just read, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, they're all going to be out there today. So, you know, we're going to get our first look at this thing today.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be fun.
And you're getting it against a Steelers squad that they're resting a couple of the guys in the secondary. Plus, Cam Sutton is injured, so he's just not out there. So this might be – it still might be a pretty good aerial attack. Okay, I'm back in it. I'm back into being excited about it.
Good.
Because you've got one of the best one of the very best wide receiving core in the league going up against a not full-force Steelers defense. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. Someone's asking, is Joe Mixon on that list? I think he was. He's on a follow-up tweet. He's not playing. He hasn't practiced since July 19th. So Joe Mixon's not playing tonight, which, good segue. Good job, Texter. Damian Pierce, big opportunity for tonight for him. I would submit Damian Pierce, until we see him running against actual other NFL teams in pads head to toe and being able to get tackled, which we've not seen in a long, long time with Damian Pierce. He's battling for his job right now. Now, the team really likes him. D'Amico Ryans has had nothing but good things to say about Damian Pierce, but this is a big night for Damian Pierce. Here was Nick Caserio back during the first week of training camp when he was on with me and Seth talking about what did Pierce need to do better to fit into this scheme.
Just having a clear headspace and kind of clearing your mind and kind of starting from scratch and refreshing. He trained very hard. He had a good attitude. He got himself in good condition. I really don't want to get into the depths and the detail, but I would say he was dealing with more than maybe people realize. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that affects maybe how you perform and play because you've had a lot of things going on. And there were times where he probably pressed and put maybe some undue pressure on himself. So when you take it holistically, everything into consideration, there were some ups and downs, and the way he handled it, honestly, was very mature. So he's in a lot better space. He's had a really good spring. He's popped some runs here in practice, and you're starting to see some of the things that you saw, you know, that we saw at Florida, that you saw as a rookie. And he had some good plays last year. I think the good plays sometimes get drowned out by some of the negative plays, and then everybody kind of those get sort of accentuated a little bit more than they should. So, again, like, great kid, great attitude. He's going to help our football team, and we're glad he's here.
Yeah, he did have some good plays last year. I think you and I both feel like even on his good plays, though, he didn't look like vintage rookie year Damian Pierce.
Yep.
So that's just a huge part of him translating what we've seen in practice, which is it's hard to measure sometimes. Okay, my memory of this guy during training camp practice this year versus last year, I did think that Damian Pierce looked more comfortable in the offense in practice compared to how he looked in practice last year. So it's just a matter of translating it over to the field. As far as, you know, you give credit to Damian Pierce for fighting through last year and taking that setback with aplomb, but that's a nice Miss Congeniality award.
Right.
You know, like at the end of the day, it's okay, what does he look like as a football player? As a human being, yes, awesome, still love it. Still feel great that he was able to battle through that, but you gotta first and foremost be a really good running back. So hopefully we see some flashes of that tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's just I don't care what the numbers look like with Damian. I care what it looks like. You know what I mean? I care what what his decisiveness, what his style looks like almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I want to see a couple broken tackles more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And I want to see him plant his foot in the ground and get vertical the way Arian Foster or various other great zone running backs have done, and I think he's capable of doing it. It's just you got to see it.
Yep, a lot of texts from people on what they're looking forward to seeing the running back group and Lassiter. Okay, well that text came in before I read the list.
That's I listed the five that I'm excited about seeing. Kamari Lassiter was number two on that. I was now this does leave open my number one thing that I wanted to see was this defensive line, which. particularly the guys on the interior, like Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasu,
yeah,
they've been tearing up the Texans' offensive line, but you don't know what to make of that. Yeah. I have no idea whether that's a good thing for the Texans' defensive line or if it's a bad thing for the Texans' offensive line. The Steelers will start, at least as of a couple days ago, they were going to start four of their starting five offensive linemen. The left guard, the starting left guard will be out. So for the most part, you're going to see this starting defensive line, except for Will Anderson, versus the starting Steelers offensive line. You know, in a regular season game, this is how it is. You're going to be going up against four starters and one backup more times than not, most likely, with a lot of teams.
Yep. Texter pointing out, tackles need help tonight. We only have two tight ends. I know.
That's where Cade Stover's blocking.
Yeah, man.
Is really coming in. Except that the Steelers don't have their best edge rushers out there, so it's not as much of a test.
Yeah, can I get...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Can I get prop bets, or can I get a little? Is Cade Stover more than X amount of receptions on Prize Picks tonight? He's going to be out there a ton.
I doubt. I would check. Let me check betus.com for Prize Picks. I got to get the. I don't know. I don't see a prop bet on Cade Stover for tonight.
Damn, it feels like taking candy from a baby. He's going to be out there so much, man. Yeah, a lot of people weighing in. So D-line versus a mobile quarterback you want to see. They've torpedoed your Kamari Lassiter dream of watching him go against George Pickens tonight because he's got an ankle injury. Jalen Petrie is the one that got a lot of love here on the text page earlier when we were talking about the game tonight.
In terms of something they want to see.
Yeah. And how he gets used. I think they've heard us talking, and others obviously, talking so much about slot corner, and is he a good fit there? Is he a bad fit there? There's good things he does. There's deficiencies, yeah. Whatever.
As a nickel linebacker, I think it could be really good. As a slot corner, I don't think they're going to use him all that much in the tougher parts. I don't think they're going to have him in man coverage on a lot of wide receivers in the league. So, but somebody earlier asked, like, hey, can Jalen Petrie be one of the starting linebackers? Basically, when you're playing the nickelback on a team that's in nickel over 70% of the time, he kind of already is one of the starting linebackers if he's in that role. So it's in modern football, yeah, he's kind of one of your linebackers. It's just that we haven't seen him in that role before.
Right.
He did a lot of this stuff at Baylor, but that's a whole different scenario. So this, I mean, we'll see. I don't think they're going to be blitzing the hell out of him or anything. Like, they probably... They plan on using him selectively on blitzes during the regular season, but we'll see him in a different role.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm like, the things that probably make him a good nickel linebacker are things that we may not see till week one, you know, just because the Texans don't want to show their hand with anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if the Steelers come out with three wide receivers, the Texans will be in nickel and Petrie will be out there.
Yeah.
And so you'll get to, you're right. You're
like blitzing. I'm talking about blitzing.
Right. The exotic stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Which is another thing. You know, when John Harris brought this up. You're in this weird spot with Jalen Petrie where, despite him setting records for tackles by a rookie, et cetera, his rookie year, he actually wasn't a good tackler. So, yeah.
It's like leading the league in at bats, you know.
He was like, yeah, he was. Well,
what'd you hit? 210.
That was one of the things that first endeared Jimmy Ward to me. Was Jimmy Ward, when he was on Richard Sherman's podcast, was talking about when he first met Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie had kind of just told Jimmy Ward that he led the team or league in tackles or whatever, and Jimmy Ward was like, "That's it's not necessarily a good thing, man. You're like your safety should. You're on a really bad defense. Like if your safety is getting a boatload of tackles because the front seven is completely useless, then that's not necessarily a great thing."
You know who routinely led the Texans in tackles in the David Culley year? Jonathan Owens.
yeah, exactly, right. You know?
And where is he now?
Seen gallivanting about Paris. Yes.
Right. Now, yeah, it nabbed him Simone Biles, but, you know, he's a journeyman in the NFL. I don't know, that's a pretty good trade-off, though. Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, being a journeyman in the NFL, but having the most famous gymnast of all time as your spouse.
They seem like a genuinely good pair, too.
Yeah.
You know what? I remember talking to Jonathan Joseph about Jonathan Owens, and he said that he's just a good kid. He's like the way Jonathan Joseph was describing him. He is the kind of kid that you would want to marry your sister or your world famous gymnast.
Yes.
So I'm your locally born world famous gymnast.
You have pointed out many times what a handsome face he has.
He's a very handsome fellow.
He's a very attractive guy. Yeah, no doubt. And he's back stateside now. He's back playing football again.
I told you, I got 10 minutes into the Simone Biles documentary, and I flip-flopped completely on my take about Jonathan Owens going to the Olympics. I was like, yep, nope, that's where he needs to be. That's exactly, nope, good. Don't worry about the other stuff. Life is more important. Go to the Olympics.
Do you care to, can you shed some light on why you changed your opinion so quickly?
Well, because it was so much of about like Simone Biles and her experience in the 2020 Olympics. It had to do with her, you know, kind of coming to terms with a lot of stuff that happened with the U.S. gymnastics doctor, but also being over there in the bubble and not having her family around her like she typically did in every single gymnastics event she'd ever been in, and just not having that kind of environment and everything. I felt like, oh, okay, yeah, this is bigger than Jonathan Owens making the team. Now, I do, some of the people who disagreed with me at the time, they were like, well, that would be like Simone Biles not going to the Super Bowl because she had to practice. Like, no. That would be like her not going to the Super Bowl because she had to qualify for the Olympics.
Right.
Like she would miss an actual meet.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Owens is not in a position where he's a slam dunk to make the team.
Right.
So it's more like, no, that's Jonathan Owens missing out on it. And it's a sacrifice, but it's one that I get and I understand now that I've watched the documentary.
Okay, my commitment to you is I'm going to watch that documentary. Is it a one-episode documentary? Like, how much time am I investing in this?
No, I think I'm like 2.5 into it, so okay. I don't know how many there are.
Okay, okay. Yeah. But the first 10 minutes changed your opinion on this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's the people that are like, that because I, without having seen the documentary, I skew towards the side of he should stay here and practice with his football teammates. If I were a football teammate of Jonathan Owens, there would be part of me like, okay, so there's a threshold here, like the Olympics.
You know what, I think it's almost though, it's one of those things where if he were a star player and he were doing it, I would feel like, oh, he's getting special treatment. When you're a bubble player on the team, a fringe player, I look at it more as like, okay, he's willing to make that sacrifice just because he wants to be there for his wife.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it might hurt him in his chances to make the team, but I kind
of
get it.
The drama part of me wants him to not make the team. The part that likes Jonathan Owens, I have nothing against Jonathan Owens. I just say, if it were me, if I were him, I would have stayed here because I'd be nervous about not making the football team. That's just how I'm wired. He did his thing, you know.
I saw some people say, and this is not a bad take, it's an interesting one, that he almost maybe has a better chance of making the team now because the team will be criticized if they cut him. I understand where that comes from.
Yes.
I don't think that's the way the team would operate.
I don't either.
That's like, it's ultimately, anytime football crosses over into the mainstream media, there's all kinds of people that are going to have bad opinions about what a football team that they don't actually care about should be doing. None of the actual Bears fans are going to actually take it that way. So for the fan base they care about, I don't think it matters one bit.
Text message, didn't Will Anderson do a sideline interview at the Hall of Fame game? His injury can't be that bad. No, it's not. I mentioned Aaron Wilson had a follow-up tweet. I read the long list of guys who aren't playing tonight. several of them he listed in a subsequent tweet to say, you know, essentially, if this were a regular season game, these guys could play in the game. They're just being ultra cautious with some of these
guys. Yes. I guess I wouldn't have read into that as being an indication that he had a bad injury. And other than, like, yeah, obviously he wasn't in a walking boot or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're, D'Amico talked about this the other day. They are, you know, they're very keenly aware of just limiting guys' reps in the preseason. And it was cool because immediately you think, oh, yeah, analytics and load management and all that. But D'Amico had kind of an old school football sentiment, which is just that you don't want to peak at the, you don't want to peak too early.
Yeah.
So you kind of limit things like an NFL training camp. It's not as grueling as it used to be, but it's really, really long.
Yeah.
And there is that monotony that sets in to where you don't want guys to lose their mental edge and kind of their passion. So I think D'Amico uses the analytics and uses the body tracking data, but also just wants to kind of keep that fighting spirit alive through a really long training camp.
Well, keep in mind, it's a week longer for the Texans than it would normally be, you know?
Yeah.
Because that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that. It's only been a couple years that it's been three preseason games, so when they start talking about how it's a longer preseason, I'm like, well, yeah, I guess.
But for these guys, they're used to starting on, like, July 27th. They started on July 18th, you know? Yeah. They started 9 or 10 days earlier than they normally do. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Should this be an indicator that J.J. Watt is returning? We will judge coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.